You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I want to talk about anger and fear and what our life looks like when anger and fear have taken over a large portion of our life. How our life begins to look and what we can do to really overcome this anger and get past the fear that isolates us. You know, one of the things that I've realized that I learned from my own personal life is that the first emotion we as humans usually feel when it's a negative emotion is anger. Anger. And that anger stems from one particular area of our life. And the funny problem with anger is that that same anger maneuvers and infects all areas of our life. And, you know, as a life coach and as a therapist, I often hear clients tell me after I ask this question, well, you know, why are you angry? Why do you feel so angry? Where is the anger coming from? And I bet you already know what the response is. It's three words. Three words. I'll give you a second. I don't know. I don't know is the biggest answer to this question because it's like we try to disconnect ourselves from our emotions. Like we feel anger. We really don't want to feel anger, but we really don't want to deal with what we're angry about. We'd rather kind of push it aside, sweep it under that rug. You know what I'm saying? But what happens when we're angry? See, the funny thing about it is that anger is one of those emotions that you first want to sweep under the rug, get rid of it, move on, act like it doesn't exist. You know, woo, nothing to look out over here. You know, as you know, like the cartoon where the guy's over there whistling in the corner, kind of like trying to hide something. You know, nothing to look at here, nothing to see here. Keep on moving, people. Keep on moving. Go, 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 go. And you see what I'm saying. And the funniest, not so funny, but we can add some humor into this. It doesn't go away. And that anger is like percolating. It's boiling, okay? It's already there. It's already kind of at the surface. We've kind of hidden it. But the littlest thing can just literally send us seething and angry no matter what. And I'll give you a couple examples real quick because, you know, I think oftentimes we've either been in this situation, we're in this situation a long time ago, we're in this situation recently, or currently right now in this situation. And you can deal with it. And I'm going to give you some options of how to get past this, how to overcome this, how to move past fear, how to move past anger. But in the meantime, I want to talk about where it comes from and why we try to avoid it. And first off, one of the most interesting things that I find in anger is that the smallest things can really set us off. The smallest things can really set us off. And I know for some of you, road rage is a normal occurrence. That person just cut me off and I am going to follow them all the way home and scream and swerve all the way there until I get there. And, you know, I understand when I was younger, when I was in my teens, right after getting my driver's license, yeah, I'd like to say I had some road rage. And you know where that was coming from is it wasn't necessarily Bob that cut me off on the highway. It was all the things that I was already messed up, pissed off, over, exceedingly angry, mad, couldn't put the words together. Oh my God! What the hell is the matter with our society today? It's hell in a handbasket, I tell you. But isn't that true? I mean, think about the last time somebody cut you off. And I've gotten a lot better at this. Like, I've actually gotten very zen. You know, very zen, very calm. because I don't let it get to me that much anymore. But it never really got to me because, you know, there's boneheads everywhere. There are people that make bonehead decisions on a second-to-second basis that are some of our friends even, right? Even ourselves sometimes, right? Let's be honest. And I remember the last time, you know, somebody stopped in front of me on a dime or whatever, you know, it might have made my heart palpitate a little bit, but I was fine. But in the past, when I hadn't worked with my anger issues, when I hadn't thought about what I was angry about, oh my God. Oh my God. You haven't even seen anything until you've seen somebody literally corner somebody into a corner with their car and get out and scream and yell for 15 minutes. I mean, seriously. And that's no way to live. That's no way to live. Not to mention the fact that bad things can happen, okay? Not to mention that you don't want to put yourself in that kind of position. That can be in a very bad position. And you can also put you in a position of doing something you would normally not do. But think about it. Think about how much rage and stress and anger. Think about how much stress is on the body when every little thing becomes a fight or flight deal. It's like the fight or flight mentality all the time, 24/7 in your body, constantly causing these issues. And so tonight I really want to talk about where this anger comes from. I really, really want to talk about this because I think when we're able to understand where our anger comes from, and more than that, understand where our fear comes from, but better yet, not only understanding where it comes from, but what impacts it, right? What are the triggers, and how can we calm down? Because that's what's so important. In our life, the last thing we want to do is be seething with anger on a constant basis, unable to feel other emotions. Take a step back and think about it. When we are very angry all the time, we usually can't feel other emotions. We don't have the ability of feeling compassion, happiness, joy. Those things kind of fall by the wayside because the anger takes first pole position, right? Anger. And I've been in that position before, and I want to talk about that right now because I think if you understand when I was very angry and how that permeated my entire life, I think it might help you. It might help your spouse. It could help your child, your daughter, your son. Because it might not be you going through this at all. You could be living with it, living around it, trying to help, and having nothing working out for you, not knowing where to turn. I mean, coming to someone like me for that person, but basically for you. Because a lot of times people come to therapy or come to coaching because of other people in their life, but that's obviously the other person is impacting your life. But the first thing we need to do is figure out why that's impacting you so much and how to offset that. Because when they don't impact your life in a negative way anymore, you can cope and move on. And usually people begin to follow your actions. They also aren't getting that zinger that they want from you anymore. Because remember the kid at the grocery store that wants what mom or dad doesn't want to give them, okay? The kid starts a temper tantrum, right? The temper tantrum gets escalated. And what happens? You get embarrassed. It's embarrassing because people are looking at you. You can't control your freaking kid. What's wrong with you? You're a bad mother. You're a bad father. All these things are going on in your head. While at the same time, you're like, no, you're not going to have that. Now think about this. And it takes training. You have to train people around you to treat you a certain way. And so if you are living with somebody right now that their first inclination is to go off the handle, their first inclination is to be very angry, very argumentative, even a little violent, it's time to really work through this because when you distance yourself and change the way you respond, and it takes a little while because when we've been doing something for a whole lifetime and someone's been getting a rise out of us for an entire lifetime and they've been getting what they want from you for an entire lifetime, it takes about a month to remap their actions. It's called training. Yes, it's called training. Training is not only for man's best friend, it is also for your family. And because we respond differently to their anger, usually their anger dissipates, but there's still a problem, right? The biggest problem is the person that has that anger, all that anger stored up, is angry at something that they don't want to deal with. Whether it's their own anger within, like they're angry at themselves, okay? That's a big one. Personal, internal anger, yeah. Okay, I've been there before. Anger directed to the outside of themselves, angry at a person, a family member, a situation, angry at the world, at the media, at things that are happening that they can't control. There's a lot of different variations of anger as far as who it's directed to, but that anger, when not tended to, gets really out of control, and it takes over someone's entire life, and they have this inability to see life around them. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about the time when I was extremely angry. It was probably a couple of years. It was probably a solid 2 years of time. And I know that might sound like a long time to you, but really, there's a lot of people walking around this planet who are just angry at everything. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about anger, fear, how to overcome that, and what you can do to stop those triggers and to help other people that might be dealing with this. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in, back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm talking about anger and fear, and how to recognize and realize when anger and fear have taken over a portion or your entire life. And later on the hour, I'm going to talk about how it looks, but how to overcome that and how to get past the anger and fear that ultimately isolates us from our happiness and our true self. You know, right before the break, I was talking about how when we're angry, it basically colors and distorts everything around us. We can't see the forest through the trees because we're just so doggone angry. And every little thing tips that anger off to such a level that we get so anger-filled and so out of control, we begin to have rage, right? And in a second, I'm going to talk about when I was really angry. And I was younger, but man, I was, God, y'all, I mean, jeez, I was angry. And I wanted to push it under the rug and act like it didn't exist. And if somebody asked me why I was angry, I don't know. But the littlest road rage, something that went wrong, standing in line even at something, oh my God, what the hell is going on here? This is freaking ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? You've been there before. Don't try to act like you haven't. And some of us, it's not really us. It's the folks around us who are so edgy and angry that we're walking around on our tippy toes, hoping and praying that we don't set them off. This is a true deal here. This is what a lot of people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, whether it's because they're angry with the outside world, person, a particular person, a family member, a friend, maybe they're upset with themselves and internally extremely angry. Whether, whatever it is, that anger is literally morphing into a certain type of lifestyle. And so, years ago, right when I had started college, my parents got divorced. And I knew my parents didn't have a perfect marriage, right? But I thought it was better than that. I thought it was better than needing to have a divorce. And so, the next thing you know, they got divorced. And all of a sudden, I was spending more time with them than I had ever. And it wasn't that bad. And I started accepting the fact, and I was kind of moving on. And I was like, well, this is good. I mean, I get to see my mom and my dad. maybe not necessarily together, but more than I have. And all of a sudden, I kind of saw the forest through the trees, and I was like, well, this isn't that bad. And they had to do what they had to do. And I care about both of them. And so it's okay. Well, fast forward a few months, and I had helped my dad move into an apartment and helped him, like, set up his electronics and what have you. Yes, I'm one of those folks that know how to set up electronics, TVs, can do anything, internet, anything you want me to set up, I can come by your house and electronically set up everything. I can also officiate a wedding, but let's get back to the story. So, everything's hunky-dory until, and you know, I guess my dad had previously already met somebody, and I guess the relationship had taken off, and the next thing you know, I wasn't getting called anymore to hang out. I wasn't getting calls or messages that he wanted to hang out anymore. And all of a sudden, I kind of felt like I was not only sad about the divorce, but pretty much tossed to the side. When I tried to reach out, I didn't get a response. And this kind of continued for a long period of time. And we tried half-assed way to try to connect and that kind of sort of thing. And it didn't really work out. And I remember one night, we had finally agreed to do dinner. And I said, you know, hey, I want to go to my favorite place. And we met there. And I got a two-top table because I just thought it was my dad and myself. I was like, you know, here we go. And so we sat there. Well, I was sitting at the table and he walked in. And I got up and I gave him a hug. And then this other lady walked in behind him. And being the nice person I was, I asked, because I knew everybody at this restaurant, I said, hey, could y'all hurry up and get me a three-top or a four-top, please? And they said, no problem, we got it for you right here. So we all sat down, and I knew something was up, but I didn't really actually, I kind of knew, okay, I'm not a moron, but they were hiding something. And I thought it was interesting how she kept her left hand in her lap. And I know that most people, you know, you're right-handed. I mean, the majority of people might be right-handed, at least when they eat or whatever. But still, I mean, you don't always keep a hand in your lap, you know what I mean? It's kind of odd because the table's covering it. I like to put my hands up a little bit, show use of my hands to talk a little bit. But I think it also, it's a good rule of thumb when you're first meeting somebody for the first time to really keep your hands up over the table. I don't know what it is. It's one of those kind of things that is a sign of I'm a decent person. I don't know. I can't explain to you, but there's a lot of body language stuff that I can talk about on the show here in the future. But she didn't do that. And I remember I went to the bathroom and I was washing my hands, looking in the mirror going, what's going on? And so when I came back out of the bathroom, I sat down and we're eating. And all of a sudden I'm eating the salad and the gentleman comes by and he goes, hey, would you like some extra vinaigrette? So I get some extra vinaigrette and some pepper. What a combination. So there I am eating that salad and they're talking and all of a sudden she raises that left hand up and I swear you could see that diamond ring from Mars. Oh my God. I had really at that time not seen a larger diamond. And I realized right then and there, oh my God, my dad's going to get remarried. And I don't even know this person. And I didn't even know he was bringing anybody to dinner. We hadn't even seen each other in 6 months. So anyway, I start choking on that vinaigrette. I don't know if any of y'all have had that type of real tangy kind of tart vinaigrette. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But man, when that goes down the wrong pipe, whoo, doggy, you got to watch out for that. I had to walk outside and just basically hack and cough for like 5 minutes, not to mention the fact that I was seething. And I felt that anger wash up over me. It was like the opposite of a meditational video where you talk about how the ocean, the water's lapping up on your legs. You feel it lapping up on your legs. Inhale. Exhale. No, instead of that, it was just like anger, just yeah, all over me. I'm like, oh my God, can't breathe. I need an inhaler. And so, you know, we went through this whole dinner And toward the end of dinner, he's like, by the way, we're getting married. And it's going to be here in a few weeks. And you're invited. And I was like, okay. And he's like, we'll send you an invitation. I go, you could call too and just give me the information. But yes, I definitely like an invitation as well. And he's like, her two daughters are going to be there. I'm like, her two daughters already know about the wedding and I'm just finding out. Genius. Thanks, Dad. And like as every single second continued to go by, it just pissed me off. And I remember it was kind of an anger, but it was also a sadness, okay? So there was both, and I was feeling that in tandem. And it was interesting, because of my ego, the more sad I felt, the more mad I got. Because of my ego, I didn't want to feel sad. I didn't want to feel that way. Instead, I felt like anger was a tougher, more Wonder Woman kind of feeling. And so I went with that. And not that I really consciously completely dug into that, but yeah, I got mad. And, you know, things progressed and then I was overlooked and wasn't even invited to the wedding. That upset me. I remember him calling me saying, well, we had the wedding. You didn't show up. Well, you know what? You never really invited me and he didn't even tell me where it was. But anyway, I guess that was all my fault. So as you can see, a lot of us go through these things, right? And we go through these things, whether it's with a mom, a dad, a relative, grandma, grandpa. Maybe it's an ex-husband or a husband or a wife or an ex-wife. Or maybe you're going through some anger issues and some problems with your kiddos. Maybe it's at work. Maybe your boss is a total, complete jerk-off. Maybe, you know, maybe it could be outside sources so much, it could be the government. It could be the political state of our country. It could be the violent acts that are happening around our world and are in our country that are just so upsetting that you become so angry. And that anger ends up moving into every part of our life. You know how water moves? You know how water moves? You like, if you turn on like water, it's going to go into every crevice and everything. Like it goes everywhere. It's the situation with water, and it's pretty amazing. Unfortunately though, that's how anger penetrates our life. It starts with a little bit and it just keeps going in because we can't compartmentalize it because we haven't dealt with the source of our anger. Stay tuned when I return to me talking about what I did and how I overcome it. But better yet, let's talk about anger for a little while. Let's get angry, okay, just for a little while. Let's deal with it. Let's come to terms with it, and we'll move on. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, BERGES.com. Check out the latest videos, the Wednesday Wisdom, the Monday Motivation, and the favorite, LYTL Fridays with Ashley and Buddy. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in... We'll be back this time and well, let me see here. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm discussing anger and fear. And what happens when anger is taken over your life and what you can do to overcome it and what you can do to stop that anger and fear, move it out of your life, because that's the stuff that isolates us in our life. And it might not be anger and fear on your end, in your side. Ultimately, understand this. This show might apply to the people around you. This show might apply to people you have to deal with on a daily basis. This show might apply to you. This show might apply to your kids, your husband, your wife, whoever. This could also apply to multiple people in your life. Because when people are angry and upset, it permeates all areas of all of our lives. It's not like you can just go, hey, okay, that doesn't affect me. Well, if you're close to this person and you have a personal connection with them, i.e. family member, spouse, child, you know, you get it, right? Yeah, this is going to affect you. And more so, if you're dealing with it right now, the littlest thing can set you off. And those little things don't appear little, okay? I'm not trying to downgrade your anger in any way because it's real. But there's a reason for it. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Let's get to the nitty-gritty, the reason why you're angry. Because if you can understand the reason instead of, I don't know, I'm not sure, I haven't really thought about it. Well, you know what? You think about it every day. Now let's peel that onion and figure out what it is. Right before the break, I was talking about my anger. Those years of anger that I had when my parents got divorced and everything was roses and sunshine, and then my dad decided to stop talking to me and find somebody, get married and not invite me to the wedding. You see where this is going, right? And as time progressed, I kept trying to just deal with it. I thought if I could just let it go. And so I tried to overlook it. And so I attended a few events at his house with his new wife, and his new wife and I just did not get along. Okay? Her kids got everything, and I got squat. Okay? I got squat. And it's not about getting something. It's about a little respect, too. It's not about financial, but, you know, that's part of it, too, when you're a kid. Anyway, long story short, I remember I started deciding just to do the best thing and to try to pray, and I would send cards and letters, and he would never respond. I would send happy birthday cards, Father's Day cards. Well, see, the funny thing is that I was sending them assuming he was receiving them. Sadly enough, she was actually stopping, taking the cards and throwing them in the trash. Okay? And a lot of times we don't really know what's going on because we make these assumptions. We make assumptions every day about how people feel about us, right? If somebody doesn't call us back on the phone, doesn't text us, they're jerks. They're being jerky and they're totally full of it. And you know what? I'm going to safeguard myself from that person because that person obviously has it in for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's these little things that become big things. But when these things kind of get out of control, we tend to believe the worst. And then that anger even peaks higher and higher. And so I eventually decided, I'm cutting off my dad totally. I'm going to pray about him, but I am not going to try to have a relationship, friendship, child friendship, whatever, with my dad, period. And so I stopped talking to him. And he had really already stopped talking to me, so it wasn't like it was just me in the commander's seat. This was kind of like, yeah, it had already kind of been done, and I was just kind of following that kind of precedence. And so as the months went by, I remember like the smallest things would set me off. People would say something and I'd be like, how dare you? What the heck is wrong with you? And, you know, situations would set me off and anger me. And the news would set me off and anger me. And things that people said and the way they acted and the way people looked at me would set me off. A look could set me off. And I think we've been there before where you look around and you go, what the heck are you looking at? What are you looking at me like that for? Now, in real life, though, when we're solid and we're centered, we don't even think about that because we realize that for the most part, people are mirroring themselves in the inside. So that look is just part of their mental communication, their internal dialogue that's going on in their head. Okay, so remember, let's talk about this real quick. So when people act funny and you've done nothing and you just happen to see it and they look at you in a really weird face, usually it's because their internal dialogue is telling them some negative stuff, right? Come on, you've had some negative dialogue before, right? You know what I'm saying? And they look at you funny, and we don't take it personally because we know that most of the time people say things and do things that have nothing to do with us. However, when all we can see is anger based on a situation that we haven't dealt with, we do not see that reality or that perspective at all. It's quite the opposite, right? So I didn't realize that anger, because of my dad, was seeping into my dating, my friendships, my day-to-day life, my work, okay? And so all these different areas, just driving from work to home, going out at night, drinking more, getting into arguments, you know, not being able to you know, not argue all the time. Do you see what I'm saying? So all this anger was permeating relationships, love, happiness, home life, work, social. I mean, think about all this, and you cannot compartmentalize anger. It cannot be compartmentalized. Anger will not fit into a little suitcase. It won't do it. Unfortunately, it wants to rule the roost with the big A. Not to be confused with the little A, big B of my logo, but the big A. And so think about it. I started realizing that the anger because of my dad's situation, about kind of cutting me off, about kind of basically I'm his only daughter, so how the heck do you do this, to my frustration and my sadness. All that was put in this ball of anger. And I realized I have to work on my anger or my life is going to really, really, really suck. And it's funny how even when you know where the anger comes from, you try to act like you don't. And a good example for that is, you know, when you see something crazy happen, you see something crazy, like on the news or whatever, and it's like something that they'll end up changing later on down the road because it, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's just something that is a little off. And you go, is that what I saw? And over the period of a few minutes and even hours and even days, your mind changes that. No, that's not what you saw. That's not at all what you saw. And so the same thing happens with the anger. You might know where it comes from, but your mind will be like, no, no, that's not it. No, it's this person. No, it's the news. No, it's what's happening in our world. And I'm not saying that these things can't make us angry. But I also feel that a lot of that anger is a mask for feeling fearful, feeling sad, feeling out of control. So think about it, like the situations that we can be angry about is family situations, the death of somebody, the, you know, the divorce, going through a divorce or separation, dealing with the loss of a spouse, family member, friend, dealing with the loss of a job, dealing with the loss of a pet, a furry family member. What about the news? What about the media? What about the sadness that we deal with by watching things unfold every day in our country, in our world? And I think that a lot of times when these things happen, because a lot of these things, I don't really know if we're blindsided by them really, because I think that if, unless it's like a surprise death or whatever, usually we kind of see it coming. But when it comes to things that come out of the blue, it can blindside us. And those things make us feel out of control because we can't control that situation. Like, I couldn't control my dad not calling me. I couldn't control my dad cutting me out. I was just kind of there to try to pick up the pieces and try to move on, but I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do, and I think I was so blindsided and distraught and sad, but also I wanted to be superhuman and have this amazing strength, and I didn't want to be vulnerable. And now that I know that you can, in a good, positive way, be positively vulnerable, I didn't know that. I thought that was just for pain and stupid people. And now I realize that the more and more I understand my own emotions, the more neat and awesome and courageous and valuable and happy and strong my life is. Stay tuned when I return to be talking about what you can begin to do today, some easy breezy steps to begin to identify your anger, where it comes from, and how to not allow certain triggers to really put you into a rage. Because I think once we deal with this, your fear will kind of just melt away. Check out Perspectives and Live Your True Life Perspectives on Spreaker, on our own High Heart station, on Google Play, on Stitcher. It's an, they're awesome. They're awesome formats to listen right on your phone. Also check out the new website, AshleyBurgess.com. We have had a sort of non-surgical facelift on our site. And you're going to love it because it's so cool and clean and simple to find anything you're looking for. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. And well, be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been talking about anger and fear and when to realize when it's taken over your life, how that life begins to look, and what you can do now to really begin to overcome that internal, life-changing, enters every area of your life anger. Because like I was saying earlier, anger cannot be compartmentalized. It just can't. Unfortunately, anger is one of those things that we hold within us. Anger is one of those things that ends up getting into every form and facet in our life. We can't stop it because we can't put it in a little box and mark it big A. No, it actually mutates and changes all of our relationships. It changes the way we see things, and it influences every single thing in our life. We can begin right now by dealing with our anger, first and foremost, by examining and realizing where it's coming from. Where is the anger that I have such strong emotion to? Where is it coming from? Now, like I was talking about earlier, my situation with my dad. Now, you know, on a happy note, we have become good friends. We are good friends. We are cool. We are compadres. We're fine. It took us a while to get there. Okay? It took us a while to get there, but we're there. We talk on the phone once a week. You know, we're planning on, you know, meeting later on this year, hanging out, having a little vacation together with his wife and my husband. It's going to be fun. But it took a lot of stuff to get there. And so I'm not saying that the situation that you're angry about is going to be fixed overnight because that's not realistic. It has been a long time since this started. And you and I both know that it will take time to deal with and to be rectified, even if it can be rectified, okay? So some of these issues that we're angry about have the ability to be rectified. Some do not. But I think to some degree, all issues can be rectified within you. I think oftentimes we discredit our ability to have personal closure on our own. And that's something I work with a lot with clients, is dealing with closure of a divorce or closure of a breakup or somebody that's passed on, that there was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of water under the bridge, and they're still angry or sad about it. And we work with that and we get over that. Because you have the ability to move on. So in the situation that you're angry about, pinpoint where the anger is coming from. That's usually not that hard, but it takes you to be a little quiet, be on your own for a little while, and be able to write down some of your ideas that come into your mind. It's also a little introspective, right? Okay. The next thing is that, can you do anything about it? Can you do anything about the situation you're angry about? So in my situation, my dad had basically cut me out. I hadn't even been invited to the wedding. And I decided, after trying to communicate, that I would stop and basically cut off ties. Sure, I could have gone by the house and said my piece. Sure, I could have set up a meeting. Sure. At that time, I was pretty young. Okay, and I'm not saying that it was right or wrong, but, you know, I had just been able to vote, right, and deal with this stuff. And so my emotional EQ, so I didn't make that extra effort to do that. Even then, though, when I look back, because of the situation at hand, unfortunately, I don't think that would have changed anything. So if you're in a situation where you can do something, but really if you basically balance all weigh the pros and cons, and you realize that this isn't going to change anything, then you can at least begin to figure out how to change how you're reacting to the current situation. So that's one of the things when I was younger, I wish I would have realized that I needed to come to terms with it and overcome the fact that I was really mad at my dad and really angry with him. But I tried to sweep it under the rug. And I think at any age we do this because we really don't want to deal with those types of emotions. Because I believe that anger is the manifestation of fear and sadness put together and helplessness, right? Fear, sadness, and helplessness stuck together in this resin of what I like to call anger. And I think that is profound. And that's our go-to emotion, is that anger, because we don't want to be fearful. We don't want to be sad. And we don't want to be helpless. So in turn, we show our emotion with anger. And so the way that we can overcome, even if you can't change the situation, okay? Even if you can't change the situation. Let me give a good example. Let's say this. Let's say that the situation was as with my dad and myself, but let's say that he had already passed away and we had not rectified our problems. This is a good example of you can't change what happened because he's gone, right? But you can change the way that you react to it. And part of that is to begin to forgive yourself, forgive that other person, and forgive yourself for the situation as well. And it's just the way that we react to it. Like, let's even take an example like the news. Let's say like a recent attack happened, even a terrorist attack, and we're watching it on TV, and it just overcomes us with sadness and fear. And then we get mad and we get angry and we post on Facebook and we tell everybody about how we feel. But it's like we have to kind of look at that situation, and it doesn't, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's awful. But at the same time, we have to look at it from a different perspective, or at least realize that we can only do as much as we can, because something like that, unless we decide to go into law enforcement or whatever, is out of our control. And even if we're in law enforcement, changing world, things like that, we can work at it. We can do it. But if it's already happened, we can't change it. Okay, but we can deal with how we deal with it. And how we deal with that is that we move our focus. Okay. The best way to deal with situations like that is to move your focus from the focus point where you're at to something different. And by moving your focus, what you're doing is you're not saying this doesn't exist, and you're not lying to yourself, and you're not trying to sweep it under the rug. You're like, this is why I'm angry. This is angry. This is why, okay? But I know that the more I focus on my anger without dealing with the issues instead of the symptoms, the more angry I become. Okay, they become triggers. So the more I allow myself around people, situations, whatever, that really get to me and really get to the core and really make me really angry is not a good thing for me to be around. And I need to refocus my energy into stuff that doesn't make me feel fearful, doesn't make me feel stressed out, doesn't make me feel hopeless, doesn't make me feel sad, but empowers me. Education, love, self-respect. Doing things for other people that don't have what you have. One of the best things that you can do when you're dealing with these types of situations is to give back to society and to help people who don't have as much as you have. To give back, to help them, to let them, just to help them, give them back, let them have some self-respect and some help, and realize that there are people out there that actually care. And when you give to people and you help them, it takes the spotlight off of you as far as your emotions. It takes the spotlight out of you sitting there looking at psychoanalyzing every single thing you do. You know what I'm saying? And the best thing is that it moves your focus from that anger to helping. And when we focus on helping people, or we focus on making life better for people, or we focus on these types of things, it changes not only our mental calibration, you might say, like all of a sudden we start kind of getting rid of those compartments of anger and those portions of anger, and we are rewriting it with hope and help and positivity and enlightenment. And the more we refocus away from that anger, and first off, though, knowing where that anger comes from, because you can't sweep it under the rug, guys. Okay, the jig is up. It's done. It's done. Okay, the elephant in the room is there. We know what the elephant is. You know. You know what it is. And now we just got to figure out how to deal with it. Okay, and I believe that in these situations, starting to journal and really writing down stuff, because you know life is very interesting, because you have to realize that we can sabotage our current life situation when we allow anger to take over our life. That stuff that you're angry about may be really, really bad, but it's time to begin to deal with it and move forward, because remember, that might be bad, but do we want to really screw up everything in our life? Do we want to screw up every other facet in our life because we're angry about that one situation? Don't you find that kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face in the situation? That don't we want to literally enjoy life? Don't we want to get the most out of life? Don't we want to live life in the best way possible? And that does not include being angry with a situation or a person or whatever that took place. And that's really creeping into every area of your life. Last but not least is realizing the truth, realizing your truth. The truth is that we're supposed to love ourselves. We're supposed to love other people. And we're supposed to find that love within ourselves. And that love, that we respect ourselves enough, that we care about ourselves enough, that we take the time to do what's right by ourselves. And that truth means we have to identify where the anger is coming from and begin to let it go away. Begin to let it dissipate. Remember, fear, sadness, and helplessness is the resin of anger. And it's time to let go of that anger and to live your amazing, live your true life. I got a great show for you next. And Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. You know, I'll be back this time in three shakes.